The Marketplace lead is about the droning sound of commerce in the sky. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Effective today, the Federal Aviation Administration has new rules on commercial use of small unmanned aircraft. Commercial operators need to take an exam at one of the FAA's nearly 700 testing centers. Gigi Duban has more.
If the terms density, altitude, and temperature inversion mean nothing to you, you're probably going to have a hard time passing this test.
We have a lot of students who got their private pilot license, in the late 70s or 80s, and they're coming back and studying this stuff for a second time.
That's Alan Perlman, founder of Drone Pilot Ground School, an online prep course for the new FAA exam. It's 60 questions, multiple choice. More than 3,300 people have signed up, according to the FAA. Soon,
many more people should be able to qualify to operate a drone.
That's Michael Sievers, an attorney specializing in drone regulations. That includes farmers looking to survey crops, building inspectors. Sievers says one thing the new rule doesn't require
is lots of time with hands-on training operating the actual aircraft.
He says that's probably because drones are simpler to operate than full-size aircraft. I'm Gigi Duban for Marketplace.
The new federal regs today apply to drones weighing less than 55 pounds, like a very big bag of dog food that flies. Now to transatlantic trade, where a senior German official says a long-discussed trade deal between the U.S. and the European Union has foundered. It was the vice chancellor of the country, Sigmar Gabriel, Mrs. Merkel's number two. Here on the line from the BBC newsroom in London is economics correspondent Andrew Walker.
He has been talking about the transatlantic trade and investment partnership, and his view is that it really is going nowhere.
According to my assessment, the negotiations with the United States have de facto failed, although nobody really admits to it. And that is because, having had 14 rounds of negotiations made into 27 chapters, there has not been a single joint statement.
Well, he even has some evidence for that statement that the talks seem to be going nowhere. There's been a whole lot of nothing.
Well, I think that's perhaps overdoing it a bit. I mean, it may be that there are no individual chapters that have been definitively agreed, but negotiators will tell you that they have made a lot of progress. And in any event, you would expect things to fall into place only in the final endgame. Having said all that, there is no question that these talks are in really serious difficulty.
But stepping back just slightly from the status of the TTIP negotiations, if it were successful, what would happen to transatlantic trade?
It would remove an awful lot of barriers by way of tariffs and regulatory obstacles. And the hope is that it would also boost incomes in the process. So that's another element of the argument behind this, whether those economic gains really would be made.
The BBC's economics correspondent, Andrew Walker, thank you.
It's my pleasure, David.
That German politician also had a warning about ways to handle Britain's exit from the European Union badly, in his view. The vice chancellor said the danger is letting Britain keep the good parts of European membership while taking no responsibility. Let's check the markets. Stock index futures in the U.S. are down just slightly on the first full trading day after the Federal Reserve chair seemed especially open to raising interest rates soon. The 10-year Treasury yield is down at 1.61%. Since Anita Hill's testimony against Clarence Thomas and a couple of weeks since Roger Ailes at Fox News, there's a corner of the insurance market that is worth new attention. Did you know that about half of large employers in America get insurance coverage for claims of discrimination and harassment, a type of insurance that was almost non-existent in the early 90s? Marketplace's Lewis Wallace looked into this.
This kind of insurance took off in the 90s. Now it's a $2 billion a year market. Fatima Goss-Graves with the National Women's Law Center says Anita Hill's testimony brought a lot of stories out of the woodwork.
What we saw was the charges that were filed go up dramatically.
And no, it's not necessarily going to be marketed the same way as car insurance.
You don't need to give us your name or personal information to get an online car insurance quote.
But in practical terms, employment practices liability, as it's officially called, works pretty much the same way. Claims of discrimination and workplace harassment are treated as a risk, and you can increase or reduce that risk. Lisa Doherty gives an analogy.
If a state didn't require kids to go through driver's ed and a company didn't require managers to go through harassment training.
She runs a small business that underwrites this type of insurance. In the applications, they ask, what are your HR policies? How many claims have you had before? Premiums can range from a few thousand to a few hundred thousand dollars a year. Doherty says more companies are willing to pay that.
Because they're just so much more aware of it. They've either had a claim, they know somebody who's had a claim.
Stephanie Gironda is an employment lawyer in New Jersey.
Both sides generally feel positive when there's an insurer on a claim.
She says the employer knows they won't have to pay out of pocket. And for employees, the insurance company might bring added pressure to go ahead and settle. Very few cases end up in court. But that's all if the incident gets reported in the first place. Fatima Goss-Graves says workplace sexual harassment is still super underreported and largely affects women in low-paying jobs.
What you don't want is for harassment to be seen as just a cost of doing business.
She says even when companies like Fox do pay a financial price, it doesn't guarantee cultural change. I'm Lewis Wallace for Marketplace.
And it emerged this morning that a truck that exploded earlier this month, killing one person, injuring four, and burning down a house, was carrying detonators for automotive airbags made by the embattled manufacturer Takata. There's no confirmation about exactly where this happened, but the company says the airbag parts shipment was headed to a Takata factory in Texas. Takata is dealing with airbags that degrade in high humidity in ways that can be fatal. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.